Parkinson's disease affects more than 1 million Americans, and each year brings improved treatments for the disease so that people can live active lives. But what is often overlooked are the stresses and strains on those who live with Parkinson's patients and who may serve as their caregivers. Here with more on all of this are Dr. Dragos Mihaila, Assistant Professor of Neurology and the Director of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Clinic at the Syracuse Veterans Administration Medical Center and Upstate Medical University. And joining him is Carol Sames. She's the Exercise Physiologist and Director of the Vitality Fitness Program at Upstate Medical University. Thank you both for coming in once again.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome. You know, you were both here with me recently, and I would like to add that we talked a lot about the disease, Parkinson's, what it looks like, who gets it, and what treatments are currently available. And for our listeners, you can hear that entire interview on our website, HealthLinkOnAir, that's one word, .org. So if you're interested in hearing some of that background information, you can go to the website and just listen to that. But we all agreed during that interview that people can stave off some of the negative effects of Parkinson's and live active lives. But I thought, again, for the benefit of some of our listeners who maybe haven't heard that discussion and won't be listening, Dr. Mihaila, tell us, what is Parkinson's disease?
Well, Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurological condition that affects mobility, affects ability of people to move smoothly. It is associated with tremors and stiffness, affects the balance, and in time affects other aspects of our function, such as mental function, autonomic function with the regulation of blood pressure, and urinary problems, sleep disorders, poor sense of smell. There is a constellation of multiple neurological symptoms that are associated with this condition.
And it's a slowly progressive
disease. Affects primarily this chemical, this neurotransmitter called dopamine. So our treatments are focused at this point on replacing that dopamine, either with medications or to mitigate the effects of this lack of dopamine with the deep brain stimulation, the surgical procedure.
So we talked about that actually last time. So basically either you're giving a medicine like dopamine or you're doing this for some candidates, not everyone who has Parkinson's, but some are good candidates for this deep brain stimulation.
Yes, deep brain stimulation.
And they put the electrodes
in the brain and you connect those electrodes with a pacemaker that sends this electrical current. We call this DBS sometimes the electronic levodopa because of this, its excellent effect on the symptoms that respond actually to levodopa. But this is a procedure for people who have developed complications of treatment with dopamine, such as involuntary movements like dyskinesias, motor fluctuations, fluctuating between being very stiff and slow to states where they actually can do things.
Carol, that reminds me, so then you really work with these patients. What kinds of symptoms do you see?
Well, I mean, certainly there's your traditional Parkinson's symptoms, such as slowing movements, rigidity, difficulty with gait and balance, tremor.
Is there like also kind of a halting type of step?
There can be that in some individuals. But then, you know, there's also symptoms that are also non-motor, as Dr. Mihaila was talking about. There can be cognitive issues. Many of our individuals are over the age of 65, so there may be some cognitive losses.
Dementia.
Right. You know, lack of sleep. We could have things like depression. And because they're older, you can see other comorbidities such as cardiovascular disease, arthritis. So you really have to look at the entire individual.
And obviously your program offers help in all of those, as many of those things as you can.
Absolutely. You want to look at the entire person and then and make adaptations and modifications on their exercise.
How about things
program?
Like diet, besides the exercise, which obviously is crucial?
Certainly diet is going to be important. What we usually see is if individuals have had Parkinson's 10, 15 years, the individuals we have seen have actually had difficulty maintaining their weight. They're experiencing weight loss.
So you want to make sure they have a healthy additive diet or some nutritional balance.
Correct, especially if we're going to add additional exercise, which is going to burn off some more calories in their day.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to UpState's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with neurologist Dr. Dragos Mihaila and exercise physiologist Carol Sames. And we're talking about how to live well with Parkinson's disease. So, Carol, tell me again, what are some of the key components of your exercise program? What do you offer people?
So what we're really going to look at with somebody who has Parkinson's is, first of all, we want to do some type of cardiovascular or regular type of activity. It could be treadmill, it could be walking on the track, it could be a number of different activities depending on the individual. We also want to do strength training, and that research has been very strong recently, suggesting that strength training really has tremendous benefits.
Tell me more about that. What do you do?
Well, again, it's going to be dependent on the individual.
Of course.
If they come in and they're very functional, we may be able to do actually free weight dumbbell type activities. If they've started to lose function and are having difficulty with tremor, we might want to have them on machines that's going to control the movement. We might even do things that are body weight activities or chair activities, again, depending on the individual. But it's
so to keep tone and flexibility as much as possible.
And strength, because you need muscle to move. Very, very important. And then we want to look at functionally. How are they getting around at home? Are they having difficulty getting out of a chair? Are they having difficulty getting out of bed?
Do you teach them modifications and adaptations?
Absolutely.
In terms of how they can... You do the things that we would all do, but they may not actually be able to quite do it.
Correct.
Do you teach those kinds of stepwise modifications?
Absolutely.
And Dr. Mihaila, when you see patients who are engaged in this kind of program, do you see improvement?
Yes, and actually the patients, their caregivers, report always the significant benefit they get after sessions of physical therapy or more comprehensive programs like Vitality. The only problem is that these benefits are lost unless you continue with these exercises after, let's say, a program of physical therapy, which is limited by our abilities to provide that type of care.
Exactly. So, Carol, is there a lot of a home program that's encouraged at the same time? In other words, do you give people homework, so to speak?
Certainly. And again, this is looking at the comprehensive individual. Some individuals cannot come to the IHP 3 times a week, and so they're saying, I can only come once or twice.
IHP, Institute for Human Performance at UpState. Okay.
So they can only come once or twice. So here are the things to do when you're not here. And in fact, the research has suggested 4 to 6 days of being active, and so we want to encourage that.
And you also mentioned the last time you were here that you have a water program. I know that you said we have a land program, but we also have a water program. What do you see? What's the benefit of taking them in the pool, for example? What are you seeing?
Well, individuals that are going to participate in the pool, generally speaking, are going to be more functionally limited. We're concerned about potential falls on land. So the water is protective in that regards. If they're starting to have significant ambulation, difficulty walking, gait issues, we can really work on that and address that in the pool, again, in a safer environment.
Can you do the same kinds of things? Can you work on strength?
Oh, absolutely.
And mobility and flexibility, all those same things.
Just in the water, correct.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's a wonderful asset to have.
It's a wonderful asset for certain people, absolutely.
Really, really great. So it seems to me, though, having a disease of this kind, or really any chronic disease, not only weighs heavily on the individual, but clearly weighs on their family members or people who are their caregivers. And clearly, the strain and stress of taking care of or being responsible for somebody with that kind of limitation is great. Dr. Mihaila, what do you see and what do you say to people who are their primary caregivers?
Sure. This is a well-recognized problem, taking care of the caregiver of somebody who has Parkinson's disease or other chronic condition. It is recognized, but on the other hand, oftenly forgotten.
Often overlooked.
Oftenly overlooked, absolutely. So we see the stress that is on the caregivers having to deal with the progression of the disease, managing the multiple problems, mechanical, motor problems, cognitive, behavioral aspects of the problem as well. So the caregivers are under a lot of stress. I usually recommend some respite, maintain their well-being, both physical and cognitive, affective well-being. I also recommend involvement. We are talking about exercise. Involvement of the caregiver in exercise is very important.
For participation, themselves, you're
together.
Saying.
Yeah.
Well, together or even by
together
themselves.
Together or by themselves. But together, participating in this type of exercises is very important. It's good for their health, is also an encouragement for the patient who has Parkinson's disease.
I'm always reminded of the statement that they say on the airplane. I hear this all the time. You know, if there's a drop in pressure, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you attempt to help someone else. And I think caregivers all too often forget this. Is that what you say?
Absolutely. Kim? We encourage the caregivers to participate. They are certainly welcome to participate in the Vitality Program with the individual or on their own. We even can give them home activities to do. But we know that chronic stress has many negative health aspects.
And so even if they're not necessarily exercising along with their loved one, in this case, or the person that they're responsible for, you recommend that they take time to exercise and eat well and get enough sleep and do all the kinds of things.
Absolutely. We all need to be active. And that's so important for good health.
Mental and physical.
I want to add to this point that there is more and more evidence that exercise may have actually a neuroprotective effect, protects degeneration of the brain, may delay the worsening of Parkinson's symptoms, of the cognitive symptoms, not only in Parkinson's disease, but also in Alzheimer's disease as well. So it is very important. And this evidence comes from both animal and some beginning of the human trials or research projects.
So we know, Carol, that if people want to get involved or find out more about your program, it's at the Institute for Human Performance. It's called the Vitality Program, and they can find a link to that on our website, HealthLinkOnAir, that's all one word, .org. Also on that same website, I want to remind people that they're, the Onondaga County Department of Aging and Youth is sponsoring currently two groups that meet monthly to provide education and support to both to patients and families dealing with the disease. And we'll have all that information on our website as to the locations and the times. And I understand you are going to also be doing a talk on September 12th, is it?
Yes.
Correct. And that's going to also tell people about how to live an active life with Parkinson's disease.
This is the theme of the...
Yes.
There'll be a mini conference, so we'll have more information on that on our website as well. Well, I thank you so much again for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Dragos Mihaila, neurologist, and he's the director of the Movement Disorders Clinic at Upstate Medical University, and Carol Sames, she's an exercise physiologist and the director of the Vitality Fitness Program at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.